Yeah, she do. Always there for our kids. Well, thank God for your effort, being an inspiration to them. Amen? All right, let's get down to business. Don't look at your time. Because we're on for a ride. Amen? I see people looking at the time already. So if you look at your time, your watch is going to go off until after the message. Amen? A well-practiced faith. We're back in the book of Romans, and quickly let us go to the next slide. And today we want to talk about God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation. And Pastor Gary kicked it off last week, and we're going to continue in the book of Romans chapter 10. And as we go to our next slide, let's go to our internal truth. Let's keep going. Internal truth. Our internal truth is no one can be saved merited from observing good deeds and actions. Only through Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you do, without Christ, you are wasting your time. Amen? Amen? Amen. So quickly as we go on, we want in the book of Romans chapter 9, help us please, let's go to our next slide. Paul started off with the problem that the Israelites have. And even though it was the Israelites, but we want to relate it to us today. Right? And as we look at our message today, the first thing we want to look at, the passion for salvation. And in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 21, we'll look at verse 1 to 4 first. It talks about Christ being revealed as the main person through whom salvation is obtained. And we're going to look at Israel's condition and look at, and put ourselves into that situation. We're going to look at how confused they were. And guess what? We are too confused sometimes. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's conclusion. And how can we fit ourselves into that? So quickly, help us address. Let's go to the next slide. Now, before going to Paul's problem with the Israelites, in chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, Paul said that he said, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. He was speaking from his heart. He said, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Paul is kind of, he's giving a clear statement concerning the condition of the Jews. And he says that they are lost. They are lost in the sense that sin is taking control of them. And his desire for them is to be saved. He carries a burden on him. For, remember, Paul is a Jew. But his heart was with them. Because why? They refused to accept salvation through Jesus Christ. And as we go further, we want to see why he says that, why it was a burden on his heart. No, go back one slide. Go back. In chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says this. And because it was a burden, he didn't just think about it. He kind of put it into prayer. And he says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. How many of us have family? Last week, Pastor Gary spoke about that. How many of us have family, friends that are not saved? How many of us have children that are not saved? And Paul said, it's a burden on my heart. And he said, my desire for them that they may be saved. Now, what was the problem? Help Andrea, let's go to the next slide. What was the problem? Israel, they had a problem. And the problem was self-righteousness. You know, the marriage system, right? Because my father is a pastor, so I come to church, I'm saved. Because my father is a deacon, hey, I come to church, I'm saved.
It doesn't work like that. Oh, because my sister is in a choir, sings, I come to church. Hey, my wife is in that church, I come to church. I'm saved. No, you are missing them. And I just heard the Israelites, because they felt they were Jews, and being the chosen nation, they felt, oh, we are saved. Which was wrong. And guess what again? Work. They feel that, oh, I'm engaged in the church. I serve on the women ministry. I serve on the usher. I serve in the men's. I serve in the Sunday school. So I'm saved. No, your works cannot save you. And they feel that we are keeping the law. We are committed to the law and keeping the law, keeping the Sabbath holy, and what have you. But there was no faith in keeping the law. And that was the problem Paul had. Can we see ourselves in that situation too? Can we see ourselves basically doing everything, coming to church and being involved? But is it deep down in your heart? How is your relationship with God? Can God say, oh, well done, my good and faithful servant, to you? And that's the problem Paul had with them. And as we go further, we're going to see Andre help on the next slide. That was Israel's condition. And Paul, if we look at the following verses, verse 2 to 3, you think that they are confused. Look at verse 2 to 3. It says, Paul said, for I bear them witness that they have what? Oh, y'all talk to me now.
Zeal.
What a zeal is? You have passion, right? You anxious, want to do things, right? When they say, oh, the women are meeting here, oh, boom, you're there on time. When they say, oh, deacon's meeting, you're there on time. Sunday school, you're there on time. You have the zeal. You have the passion for it. But Paul says what? But not according to what? Knowledge. He said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of who? God. You may be involved in everything, but if it's not in line with God, you are wasting your time. You may think that, oh, I'm eager. I have the heart to serve God. I'm willing to do it. Oh, who's going to do it? Yeah, I will. Who's one? I'm willing. That's good. You have the zeal. But when it comes to knowing God personally, you're off track. And that was the problem Paul had with them. He had that problem with them. And what made them confused? Let's go to the next slide. Here is it. They were involving activities in program committee, but they are fruitless. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Thank you for the few who said amen. Paul had been a self-righteous man before, right? In a sense that he felt he was doing the right thing by going persecuting Christians because he knew the Jewish law and everything. So he was doing all those things until he met Jesus Christ. And Christ changed him. But he thought he was doing the right thing by persecuting Christians. But he was doing the wrong thing. So Paul is saying that with all the zeal, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he said, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So, for he who comes to God must believe that he is what? He is the rewarder of those who what? Now, let's go by. He said, daily what? Now, when you have the zeal, you may have the zeal, but you're not seeking him diligently. You're lacking salvation. And our Paul has it. In there, he said, why is it important to have? Because Christ is the goal. Because if with everything you do, when you cannot trust Jesus Christ, who the author and finisher of our faith, because he's the goal and he's the purpose, he is the end of the law. And we're going to talk about that later. So Paul, that was, how can these people be confused? And that's who we are. We have the zeal, we're involved, but it's just show how I can do it. Amen?
Amen?
But our prayer is that as we go through the study of the book of Romans, we're going to see ourselves in there. and transform into who God desires us to be. Amen? Help us. Let's go to the next slide, Andrea. And this is what Paul had to say in verse 4. He said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Christ is the end of the law. So what Paul is saying here is that what the law could never have done, Christ is the way out. The law could not save you. And we're going to talk about that later. The law could not transform you. The law cannot make you righteous. It's only through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because what? Christ fulfilled the demands of the law. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, verse 21, it talks about he provides righteousness full and free. He said, "For he made him who knew no sin become sin for us." So if Christ becomes sin for us, then what that means? We become what? Righteousness what? Of God. In who? Him.
All right.
So Christ proved that righteousness is full and free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything, the extra mile. All you need to do is what? Believe in him. Have faith in Christ Jesus. Your work cannot save you. Your gift cannot save you. Your talent cannot save you. Nothing else you can do can save you. Only believing in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. The pathway to salvation. Paul revealed Jesus Christ in verse 5 to 15. And we want to look at a procedure. We're going to look at the promises. We're going to look at the provisions that are in there that Paul mentioned. And you know, I got a picture PowerPoint, a good picture. You know, the pathway to Christ, to Christianity is not, it's not a smooth pathway, right? Oh, only a few agree with me.
I agree.
Oh, okay. Thank you, baby. The way to salvation is not easy. It's not a smooth ride. It's rocky. But only with your eyes on Christ Jesus, you can make it through. Amen. So let's just go there quickly. Andrea, help me. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at a procedure. First, in salvation, isn't found in keeping the law. Let's look at verse 5. Paul said, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall what?
Live by them."
Were they living by the law? No. They were not living by the law. Jesus called, referred to the Pharisees. He said, "You well-washed grave." He said, "You look good on the outside, nice robe, everything, but in the inside." Whew. If God could just reveal, you know, us and everybody, we'd be running from each other around here. But we thank God. He's the only person that can see in the inside. So Paul is saying that salvation is only kept, is not found in the law, in the sense that he reminds us that righteousness is possible through the law, but only if a person could keep the entire law perfectly. If you can uphold the law, keep it perfectly, hey, then you are righteous. But because you cannot keep the entire law perfectly, you are not righteous. Why? The book of James chapter 2 verse 10 says, he said, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is what?" Ooh. So there is no grace in that part. So it tells us that no matter how you take the law, you cannot be righteous. You cannot obtain righteousness through the law. You cannot get salvation through the law. Let's go to the next point. Salvation is not found in great signs. Look what he says there. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into the heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ from the dead. What Paul is saying here? Now, he's kind of going back to the book of Deuteronomy, and he's telling us that no, there is no need to look for a sign from heaven. Don't look for a sign from heaven or a sign from on earth. Because just as no one is going to go to heaven and come down from heaven to bring down the Lord, it's the same way that no one can bring Jesus down. Because why? Jesus has already come down from heaven and he presented himself. So don't look for sign. Jesus has already presented himself. Amen. Just as no one can find a way through the Red Sea or through the sea looking for Jesus, you're wasting your time. Jesus has come and make a way. And the only thing you need to do is believe in him. Amen. The only thing you need to do, accept him as your Lord and Savior. Don't look for sign. It's not found. Salvation is not found in great sign. But yet, what salvation is found in? Help us. Say, salvation is found in simple surrender. Just surrender yourself. In verse 8, say, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As simple as ABC. ABC is even harder. As simple as ABC. ABC. He said, for with the heart, what happened? One believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, one confesses. Confession is made unto salvation. So you see, the heart and the mouth is important when it comes to salvation. You cannot profess it from the mouth if it is not in the heart. It has to come from your heart. Believe first in your heart in Christ Jesus. Surrender with him from your heart. Do not say it from your lips. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said, these people honor me with their what? Their lips. But their heart is far from me. So God is looking at our heart. He's not looking at our lips. Because what is inside what? Shows who we are. Comes on the outside. And some people can say, when they say something, say this, they say, oh, it wasn't me. No, it was you. It came from your heart. And they say, oh, it was slip of tongue. No, it came from your heart and ain't no slip of tongue. Slip of mouth. Thank you. But Paul says that's the simple way of salvation. There is no other way. Just confess. Believe in your heart. And that was hard for them to believe the Israelites. It was hard. Even today, people listen to messages. They go to church. They come from church to church. They listen to television, watch television, listen to preaching and what have you. But yet they still do not believe. Yeah. And if Israelites, Jesus was to them. They saw him. They saw the great things he did. And everything that went through, they experienced him. But yet they did not believe in him. But it was simple. Believe in him. How about, Andrea, let's go to the next slide. The promises as we go. The promises and confession and belief. Let's go by one slide. Andrea. Go by one slide. Okay, the provisions. Chapter 14. And it says that, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Andrea, we jumped the gun. Let's go by one step. Yeah. There you go. Go by again. Yes. I want us to come back here before we go further. He said, for with the heart that one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, confession is made unto salvation. It's important for us because, all right, my phone kind of talking right now. I didn't call you. I thought I only iPhone can do Siri, but sorry. It's the Holy Spirit, no, I'm ministering right now, so thank God for the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Salvation for us, for the human race, is not true relationship with our friends. It's not true relationship with our pastors. It's not true relationship with our church leaders. It's not true relationship with our parents. Nothing. Salvation is only through Christ Jesus. Just believe it. You know, when our teens were out here and they spoke about rededicating their lives, it was that which they believed in their heart and they experienced. Some of them say, I got saved, but I didn't. But just by experiencing a snow camp, it makes me to rededicate my life. That power comes through what? Confessing and believing in Christ Jesus. That's the only means we can be saved. There's no other way out. Amen? Amen. Andrea, help me. Let's go to the next slide now. There we are. Being saved, that's a promise God made, right? And the first thing we have, assurance. Look at verse 11. It says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not what? Oh, will not be put to shame. Whoever believes on Jesus Christ, no matter what you are, your lifestyle must have been. God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care what you did in the past. All he cares about your future. And this is why he said, you will never be put to shame. That's the promise and that's the assurance we have in Jesus Christ that we can come to him just as we are. Amen, somebody. Amen. And yeah, the promise that we have, we are accepted. Verse 12 says, for there is no distinction between what? Jews and Greek. Whew. Thank God. Amen. He said what? For the same law of all is rich to all who are called upon him. Amen. So the simple thing here is that just call upon him. Amen. What are you, Greek? You Jews? You African? You Spanish, you Mexican, you whatever you are, call upon him. Amen. And he's willing to accept you just as you are. That's it. We will be accepted. And the next thing is amnesty. What is amnesty? It's a big word. You know, political leaders, when they commit crime, they get an amnesty, right? Right? That you got assurance that you cannot be touched. You are secure, right? Hey, even as sinner, when we come, we got amnesty from our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Look what he says in verse 30. He says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. No one coming after you. Oh, you are one a drunkard. Yes, I was one a drunkard, but guess what? I'm saved. Amen. You was one a thief. Yes, I was a thief. Guess what? I am saved because I accepted him. Oh, you were once a liar. Yeah, I agree. Guess what? But I'm saved now. Amen. That was my past. Because he said, whoever calls upon him, you may be a liar, you may be a drunkard, you may be a thief, you may be a murderer, whoever. He didn't limit it. He didn't set a category. He said, this is the category I'm going to save people according to. No. He said, whoever. So we have amnesty. We have protection when we are saved. You know, that's why we the Baptists, we believe, he said, once you're saved, you're always saved. Because of what we have from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The provision. Paul says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not heard believe and not believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Ooh, Pastor Gary, say our feet are beautiful. Amen. Amen. And he said, who bring glad tidings of good things? You know, when I read this, it tells me that God always make his plan to do according to how he wants things to be. He will bring people to himself, true people. And that's why Paul says in there, and it's important for us to understand that this provision that God is talking about here, Paul wants us to know that it was all the work of God. It may end by sinner calling unto the Lord for salvation. But guess what? It begins with the Lord raising up messengers. Raising up messengers to take the word of life to a lost and a dying soul. Now, don't say I'm not a preacher, but guess what? You can be witness because God gave us the Great Commission. He said, go ye what? Therefore, he did not say, go ye deacons. He did not say, go ye pastors. He said, go ye what? Therefore, he referred to every born again believer. If you are a born again believer, you are commissioned to go and spread the gospel. Don't wait for the pastor. You can go and evangelize. Don't wait for the pastor. Don't wait for the deacons. Don't wait for the church leader. You can go. And that's why God says he raised up all these messengers to go and spread for the good news. Let's go to the next slide. The proclamation of salvation. Paul proclaimed of salvation in 16 to 21. But guess what? Christ was still rejected. And that when I saw that, I said, "Ooh, these people are confused. Confused rejection. And not only they are confused, we also are confused in rejecting Christ. We're going to look at that. But they continue to reject him. And we do the same also. Every day we continue to reject him. Let's go. Verse 16 to 18 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Have you not heard the word of God? Have not I hear? He said, but I said, have they not? Yes, indeed, they heard. They have heard. We have heard. But what happened? He said, the sun has gone out to all the earth and the words to the end of the world. But why is it so confusing that they are rejecting him? Now, Isaiah the prophet, they had the Lord of God, right? They heard a report of the coming Messiah, Christ coming in the book of Isaiah. He talked about it. They even had the Messiah in the midst. They have even seen the Lord return to the Gentile and save many because the Jews did not accept him. So the Gentiles returned to him and many got saved. In fact, during Paul's day, the Gentiles were pouring. They were pouring into the kingdom of God while the Jews steadfastly refused to believe. Guess what? It's confusing how they knew him, they heard about him, they saw him, but yet they refused to believe in him. Isn't that interesting? And why this is truly confusing, church, is also to those in our modern days come to church where the word of God is being preached, where God's word is being preached. And yet, today people hear the truth. They know the truth. Yet they refuse to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Why? I don't know. But I guess when we go back in Romans chapter 9, it tells us that man is what? Dead in sin. Right? We have that sinful nature in us. But are we going to, Paul said, are we going to continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. They are like the Jews in Jesus' day. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, they are seeing, but they cannot see. They are hearing, but they cannot hear. Understanding, they don't understand. Because it's all about self-righteousness. When you want to prove yourself that you are righteous and not according to God's standard, you will not go according to the word of God. You will not believe in the gospel. You will proclaim your own self-righteousness and carry on your own desire, not according to God's word. So they were confused, continue to reject the gospel, continue to reject the Messiah, continue to reject Jesus, even though he was in the midst. And today we have the same problem with us today. And we see verse 19 to 27, but I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. You know, God provoking the children of Israel, people who they didn't know, who they didn't believe in the true and the living God, God is now using them to be a part, the Gentiles, those who are not part, considered part of the elect, God now reached out to them. Jesus, the Paul said, he reached out to them and they now become saved. And where are the ones who God said, you are my chosen nation, a royal priesthood, called out of the darkness into marvelous light so that he will be glorified. They were not accepting him, but God was using others now. And they were being influenced through the power of God. And Isaiah said, 20 said, but Isaiah said, he said, but Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found by those who did not seek me. And what? I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. That's what God wants from us. Sometimes it gets confusing with our own walk with Jesus Christ because of who we are and what we are. But the opportunity is that God still makes himself available through his son Jesus Christ. And let's see what happened next. The children of Israel continue to reject. They continue to reject. 21 says, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have what? Stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. God did not withhold anything. If he didn't withhold his son, Jesus, to come and die, he would not withhold anything back from us. But yet, we continue to reject him, not accepting him. He said, all day I stretch out my hands. All days I'm waiting for you to call upon me. That's why he says in the book of Romans, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, in John, he said, if any man hears my voice and opens, he said, what? I will come. He's not going to come with a pin bar to open your heart. He's not coming with a hammer to hit you in the heart. No. He said he's going to come and knock. That knock going to be gentle. That knock going to be smooth. But if you open, he said what? He's going to come in. Paul quotes Isaiah to remind us that the love of Christ towards us. He said, even though we have continued to reject him, he still reaches out to them and wants them to turn to him. God wants us to turn to him because it's only through Jesus Christ can one be saved. Nothing else. In the book of Matthew 23, verse 37, let me read that real quickly. He said, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets and stone them who are sent unto thee. How often I have gathered my children together even as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, and ye will not. They have given up on God's plan for salvation. They have turned, they refuse to follow him. And as a result, guess what? They came under his condemnation. And not only that, they came under his judgment. And such is the sin for anyone, any one of us who refuse to accept him as our Lord and Savior. He is the only way. Help us, let's wrap it up. So what can we do going forward? First thing, come to God on his terms. Do not come to God on your terms. Don't set condition, Lord. No, it won't work. It's never going to work. Come to God on his terms. And what? Reject every work of the flesh that make you feel that, oh, I'm safe. Heaven is mine. When it is not yours, because you are not on the right track. Pray for that person who is not safe. It may be your brother, your sister, your child, or whoever they are. Pray for them. And then share the gospel. But one last important thing, be certain you are truly saved. Because you can be praying for other people and you're not saved. You can be doing the good things and you are not saved. But be certain, deep down in your heart, that where you are, if God called you and said, well done, my good and faithful servant, you are ready to ride on. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We just give you the praise this hour. We say, Lord, help us to understand that only through you we can obtain salvation. And there is no other name on earth through one that one can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning, this afternoon, and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity you can see us and we can pray along with you. You got the word of God said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, he said, you will be saved. And that's all you need, to just believe in your heart. Accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he is ready to transform you and take you as his own. Help us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll call the praise team to just do one verse of our song.
God for saving me. And I want to challenge and encourage you. And I heard this from Pastor Anson. We had a teen who was, I believe, baptized, but realized they weren't saved at camp. And they really got saved. And I throw this out. Sometimes we go, man, something's wrong in church. Something's wrong with the process. You know, praise God. We don't care about the process. We care about the people. Amen. And I want to challenge, if there's anybody here today that really isn't sure that you know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, not next week. Let me check it out. Let me think about it. It's now. Right? And it's simple. It's not your works. It's not the stuff you do. It's not who you are. It's who you know in your heart, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today. If there's anybody, right? I know you're busy. I know you got a plan this afternoon. But you know what? We don't know when heaven's coming. We don't know when this life ends, so we got to be ready for that. So please, please, please grab me, grab Pastor Anson, grab the deacon, Deacon Jonathan, someone else. Say, you know what? I want to be sure. I want to be absolutely sure, because it matters more than anything else on earth. Amen? We're going to pray. I want to add one thing to our prayer. Steve Scott, he told me today, kind of suddenly, has surgery tomorrow and Tuesday for his neck. Been battling that for a long time. And I want to take a minute and just lift up my brother in prayer and lift us up that we would truly know Jesus and truly be thankful. Let's pray. Let's unite our hearts. Father God, thank you, dear God, for the presentation of what you did at Snow Camp in the lives of our students and in the lives of our leaders first. And I pray, dear God, thank you for what you're doing here in our lives. Lord, it's never too late. It's not too hard. And I pray, dear God, if you've spoken to someone's heart today and they're just not quite sure, Lord, that they would make absolutely sure. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to prioritize, Lord, a walk of faith above everything else. And Lord God, I pray for my brother Steve, Lord, as he awaits that surgery, Lord, tomorrow, and then the second part the next day. Lord God, that you would just be with him, that your hand would be on the doctor's hands. And Lord God, that you would bring him through and that you would restore him to health, Lord, in a way, Lord, that would be beyond even his imagination. Father, thank you for all the things, Lord, that you do in our lives, Lord, physically. And thank you more, Lord, for what you've done for us spiritually, Lord, and given us a hope that even goes beyond life on this earth. And Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving.